SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this gonna be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually you'll find somebody and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go here on a Friday afternoon edition of Moneyline, the best hour of your day. Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. We got a ton to get to, people. Trust me on that. Hot topics, we'll get those out of the way to start. A little bit of interest on where a certain quarterback in the NFL might be going now that free agency is upon us. And also some interesting stuff. By the way, I'm reading this thing right now. It says college football playoff auto buys may be axed after outcry. Fantastic. So it looks like we're making headway here and making college football even better and better and better. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Also hot topics here. Temple under review in my city of brotherly love for maybe some unscrupulous matters here. Because if anybody was watching yesterday, Temple got absolutely smashed by UAB and probably rightfully so. But some of the betting markets were sort of flagging that game for unusual activity. This is why we have legalized sports gambling. This is why it works so well, so we can keep an eye on this. And if it's happening, they can end it quickly here. Love it. But I don't really know if Temple did anything wrong other than they just stink this year. And basically going nowhere, a once unbelievably proud program in the absolute toilet here in Philadelphia. So welcome in the radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 159, all the radio affiliates in the fold. Donnie Wrightside here on Moneyline in the afternoon. But I do want to handicap some college basketball. There's no doubt about that. Let's find out here. Let me just get a quick update on where some of these games currently stand right now. So let's go Division One. Friday afternoon, Indiana State 34-31 right now currently at the half up on Missouri State. Looks like game coming up shortly here, Longwood versus Winthrop. That's in the Big South Conference. I don't know if we have, and High Point defeated Radford 77-63 today. So that game worked out. Bodo, it looks like, for High Point. 14 points and 19 rebounds. How about that name? I guess that's his name. Looks like Jay Bodo. Fantastic. Maybe a name you're going to have to get to know if they win their tournament, secure the automatic bid, and head into March Madness. Tomorrow, there's a lot of great basketball games. Already fired on one. It's my best bet. I love it. Just came out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Took it right away. I'll let you guys know what that is just a little bit later. But hot topics across the sports landscape is what we do. Russell Wilson had a meeting with the New York Football Giants a little bit earlier today. We'll see him at Newark Airport before flying out to meet with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this morning, on the early line, both myself and Davis Maddock, we were going over this. Where's Russell Wilson going to go? Does it make sense? Let me tell you something out here. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and you're listening in right now, you don't want Russell Wilson. You don't want another, let me be just over 500 season with not a single legitimate chance to win a championship. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they used to be all about the Lombardi Trophy. Pittsburgh Steelers now, it's not what they're about. It's Mike Tomlin trying to extend his 500 or better win streak here in the NFL, which is admirable, which is pretty good, which makes a lot of sense, but that doesn't win Super Bowls here. So hear me out on this. It's very intriguing, Russell Wilson leaving the Denver Broncos and getting out here in the streets. And it is not interesting to me that teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants are talking to him, because the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kenny Pickett, he stinks. Do you want to give up on him? I don't know. But right now, if you ask me my opinion about Kenny Pickett and the Steelers offense, he flat out stinks. So you are going to look for quarterback upgrades, no doubt. Take a look at the New York Giants, who Russell Wilson is talking to. Do you know why he's talking to them? Because Daniel Jones flat out stinks. He's a horrible quarterback. They wasted a ton of money on him, and they can't get out of it yet this year. So they're looking for quarterback help. If Daniel Jones plays for the Giants, again, 6 wins. If Daniel Jones doesn't play for the Giants, probably 6 wins. That's a dead franchise right now at this point until they get their quarterback, which makes it interesting with Russell Wilson because you are getting Russell Wilson without the $50 million a year price tag. You're going to get Russell Wilson for like $1 million a year, veteran minimum, barely going against your cap because the Denver Broncos have already paid him this year $37 million splashed into his account, which was a guarantee whether he played or didn't play and just got released or cut, which he did. So he's going to go to another football team and not really have any implications on their salary cap. But again, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers and you want Russell Wilson, as I said, as a fan, you don't want him here. You have to get off of the treadmill in the NFL of being a just better than 500 ball club that can make the playoffs, can get a wild card spot, and do nothing in the playoffs. Is that what you want? Because that's not what I want. You know, there used to be a long time with me being a Philadelphia Eagles fan where I was just happy with, hey, man, beat the Dallas Cowboys once a season. That's like the Super Bowl. And if we get into the playoffs and win a game, oh, my goodness, that was awesome. But never a Super Bowl was in the cards. Granted, that did change in the early 2000s when the Eagles got really good and were making runs at the Super Bowl and usually coming up a little bit short outside of 2004, beating the Atlanta Falcons, and then losing to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. But then fast forward to 2017, they win a Super Bowl. And ever since they won a Super Bowl, it should be Super Bowl or bust. Like, you're either going to win the Super Bowl, building toward the Super Bowl, or you're out of it. What are the Steelers building towards? This was a proud franchise that wanted to win Lombardi trophies all the time and expected to win them. Now we're just saying to ourselves, let's be competent enough so I don't lose my 500 losing streak or winning streak here for Mike Tomlin. That should never be the case with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're just delaying the inevitable. Russell Wilson can be a competent quarterback, but look at the division you're playing there in the NFC North, or AFC North, excuse me. You're going to have this year coming back Lamar Jackson, the MVP of the NFL. One of the best regular season quarterbacks you're ever going to find. Postseason, completely different story. And then you take a look there, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, who let's just say they do bring back T. Higgins. And obviously Joe Burrow is the quarterback. Two legitimate MVP caliber quarterbacks there. And Deshaun Watson hasn't shown much for the Cleveland Browns, but they have high expectations for him coming back off of injury next year. Let's just say he returns back to somewhat that form we saw down in Houston, where he could be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber player, right? So you're going to tell me that the Pittsburgh Steelers' best mode is going to go Russell Wilson, or you just scrap it at this point? Say Mike Tomlin, you're going to have a losing season. We are going to have to find our quarterback, and a young quarterback, not an old, aging quarterback. That's not the goal. And also, to get over your losses, and I preface this again by saying, like, I don't think Kenny Pickett is a terrible quarterback, even though I really want to call him a terrible quarterback. I just don't think he has the right guidance as an offensive coordinator. And quite frankly, they have the running backs to win. They have the wide receivers to win. They got a solid tight end, a decent offensive line. They should be scoring points here. And maybe changing the offensive coordinator this year to Arthur Smith hopefully helps them out. I don't have very many high hopes here. And especially if they get Russell Wilson, yeah, we'll cheer for a little bit. That means they'll win 9, maybe 10 games if they play it perfectly and have zero chance to win a Super Bowl. It's Donnie Wrightside on a Friday afternoon right here on Moneyline. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside here. We're going to break into some college basketball talk in just a few moments and also get to your phone calls. But just wanted to bring this up coming out of the break. Always tweaking here, which I like by the NCAA, by the way. College football playoff reconsidering auto buys in the 14-team format if they do approve it, which is kind of wild. But the idea that the SEC and the Big Ten champions receiving guaranteed buys It's kind of ridiculous. And I just want to, it's not even beating a dead horse at this point. Love that they went to 12 teams. It's fantastic. Anybody that doesn't believe 12 teams is better than 4-2 is an absolute flat-out imbecile and shouldn't be talking about sports at all. It's wonderful. It's like saying the NFL would be better if just one team from the NFC and one team from the AFC and they made the Super Bowl and there was no playoffs here. Same thing with Major League Baseball. The winner of the American League, no playoffs, versus the winner of the National League, no playoffs. Ridiculous imbeciles. Don't want to hear about it. More playoff teams, more fun, more betting, more TV, fantasticness all the way across the board. But why can't we just do this, people? Why can't we just do this? Let's just say it goes to 14 teams. Why do we even have to have automatic qualifiers? Forget about the bye weeks. Automatic qualifiers. If you are a division champ, or should I say a league champion, you automatically get in. Why? Why is that? Your league might suck. The Pac-12, the Big 12, might have, the ACC might be a down year. Why are you guaranteeing that team to get in the playoffs? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. 14 teams, if we expand it up from 12, make it the best 14 teams. If that means it's 14 SEC teams all got in, so be it. Best teams in the playoffs, that's where it makes some sense. Nobody gives a damn about Liberty. Nobody wants to see ratchet football from New Mexico State or Colorado State. Nobody wants that. All we want are the best teams in the playoff playing each other outside of neutral sites, which is ridiculous as well. Play every single one of those games on the home campus, just like the NFL does, just like NBA does. And then when you get to the final game, put that bad boy in Las Vegas every year. It's the perfect strategy where everybody will love it. Nobody wants bowl season anymore. It stinks. You think Alabama fans or Michigan fans or Ohio State fans want to travel around the country three times to meaningless places before the national championship game? Keep the higher seed at home. Let's rock and roll. It's simple. 14 teams, no bye weeks, no automatic bids. The best 14 get in. The higher seeded team gets home field advantage until you play the neutral site national championship game in Las Vegas. Said my piece on that. Let's get to the phones. Let's get after it. Let's have some fun on this Friday. First up here, the Moose is loose right here on Sports Grid Network on a Friday afternoon. What's up, Moose?
I tell you what, DRS, I have a new moniker for you. And I'm only going to use this moniker on Wednesdays and Fridays.
And Fridays.
Your new moniker that I'm going to refer you to, okay, it's after a famous Star Wars individual. Okay?
Oh.
Your new moniker, my friend, is Don Solo. Okay? Don Solo, all right?
And the people like
that's what it is, Don Solo. Okay? So, all right, let's just kick this off, okay? High point. I had him under 152 for the game, so that cashed in.
Yep,
so that's
there you go.
Nice. So then I went over to Longwood and Winthrop and Belmont in Northern Iowa. I took Longwood minus one and Belmont minus one. I'm taking the visiting teams just because of their records coming in and beating the home teams. I like it. So, and, you know, your point with all these bowl games, I agree with you 100%. And being a local Ohio boy, there's nothing that I enjoy more is some Friday night lights, but also I enjoy that small bowl action, you know, the small colleges. Mm-hmm. You're not paying an arm and a leg for a ticket. You have a more intimate setting. The food's a lot cheaper, you know, and the quality of play is just as good without all these crazies out there. And I'm just going to end with this there, Don Solo. It's raining out here. We got some games on. I have some carne asada tacos going in.
Oh, okay. Man.
It's on. You guys take care. I'm out of here, Don Solo.
Look at that. New nicknames. Love to see it here. And by the way, I didn't give my name. Like the Donnie Wrightside moniker, I didn't give myself that name. Somebody coined that phrase for me. So there you go. Moose calling in. Don Solo on Wednesday and Friday. See if that sticks at this point here. And by the way, Moose is out. Moose is like the local Chipotle. Just cooking up some good stuff there, some food, which you guys know I'm a big fan of Chipotle. Had an epiphany a couple years ago. Don't know why I was knocking Chipotle. Quite frankly, because they didn't make beef tacos, which really upset me. But I got over it. Threw some chicken in those bad boys. Burritos. Fantastic. Quesadillas. Love them. And every single time I go, I probably go to Chipotle 4 or 5 times a week. Because I only eat, again, once a day. But on the way to Chick-fil-A, on the way to Chipotle, I already have my order and never go in the place and order. It's always a pickup order. I mean, nothing beats that. By the way, also, you people out here, who are you just maniacs that go into Chipotle and wait in line and order? You maniacs. Who would do that? I get off the air in the morning, 11 o'clock, walk upstairs, take my Crocs off, take my suit jacket off, throw in a pair of sweatpants, a hoodie, some sneaks, go to the Chipotle app, order within 2 minutes for pickup, round up tip, on my way there. Takes me probably, I don't know, it's about a 15, from my house to the Chipotle, it's about 15 minutes. By the time I pull up there, my watch and phone are buzzing. Every time your order is ready to pick up, I walk in, whether there's two people in line or today, or not even today, not today. Actually, at McDonald's today, by the way, people. Shout out McDonald's. A couple double cheeseburgers, you know, fries. Hit the spot, man. Hit the absolute spot. But yesterday when I went, they must have been giving away stuff free. There must have been 20 people in line. But you know what? I walked in, side-eyed that huge line, and went and got my bag that was already ready and walked out. And on the way home while I'm driving, look, I know you're not supposed to eat and drive. I don't like to be on my phone, obviously, texting or answering the phone in the car. But I'm going to tell you right now, I get the large chips with the large guac and polish that off on my 15-minute ride home. That's how I start. Then devour burrito and or tacos and or quesadillas there at Chipotle. That's how I get down. But again, shout out you maniacs who wait in line. Now, don't you know all these places have apps to order from? Now, I say this because I don't do it at McDonald's. I just go through the drive-thru because, you know, it is what it is at that point. But I don't see any, like, Sweet Green, if that's a place around you guys, it's around here. Panera, I know that's around everywhere. Chipotle, same thing. For a long time, I was like, I don't know about, like, ordering on an app. You got to be a maniac not to use that app. It is the single greatest thing in the history of the world. You walk in, you got your food, you're not waiting here. Even if you want to eat in, grab the bag, go take a seat over there. Oh, man, the luxuries we have. Like, look, 80s were awesome. The 90s were awesome. I get that. Social media wasn't here. You had to get out and talk to the boys and the girls and shoot hoops down the street and street hockey and corner football. Yeah, we did all that back then. Kids don't do that anymore. When's the last time I walked by any field and saw anybody playing anything outside of once in a while? They'll be getting a game, you know, a 5-on-5 or a 3-on-3 on basketball. I don't see football. The boys just playing football in like a street corner lot? Never. Front yard? Nope. But my goodness. The trade-offs are incredible. Me as a kid playing outside with the friends, or today being able to order Chipotle over an app and being able to pick it up and beating the line every single time. Isn't that what life's about, people? Handicapping. Beat the line. Chipotle. Beat the line. That's what we do here, people. Let's get to college basketball next. Boy, oh boy, we got a big Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday afternoon right here on the grid, the best place to be, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline with Don Solo today. Has coined that moniker. By one of our better callers there in the great state of Ohio. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. The Moose knows. He knows. By the way, last night, State of the Union address. I'm ready to give a State of the Union address here for college basketball. Because that's what I feel like we need to be here. Now, there's games going on today. Still those smaller conferences. And even smaller conferences like the MAC, who are going to start their conference championship games next week. Also, A-10 action tonight, little VCU Dayton. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I'm going to watch these games, not really heavily invested, just to keep you updated if you are betting right now, driving around, don't have a phone ready for you here, or be able to look at a phone. The MVC right now, quarterfinal action, Missouri State, Indiana State, that's 47-41 right now, with about 16 minutes to go in the second half. William & Mary versus North Carolina A&T. And the Coastal Athletic, the CAA, William & Mary up 20-16 early over North Carolina A&T. 2:30 p.m., next round of games that gets kicked off. That is Longwood and Winthrop, followed by Belmont and Northern Iowa in the MVC at 3:30. Other games, 4:30, Hampton and Elon, and away we go into the evening. Now, as I said, today, watching, waiting, most of these conferences, you're going to have to win. So you can get that automatic bid to get in, okay? But tomorrow's the day, people. Tomorrow's the State of the Union address. This is where we have the final games as we wind down conference play in all of the majors. And next week, they'll start ramping up to see who needs what. I've already bet a game for tomorrow. Now, let me just stroll down and see. All right. The FanDuel Sportsbook is usually out quick with their numbers, as somewhere in the United States here, legalized sports gambling. I just hit my refresh button on my odds board to see if anything else has popped up. And it looks like FanDuel's put out lines for Kentucky-Tennessee tomorrow, Kansas-Houston, North Carolina-Duke, and also my favorite game of the day, Creighton and Villanova. Now, if anyone has listened to the shows this week, I thought Villanova was going to beat Seton Hall. I really did. Thought it was a decent look. Seton Hall was favored by 1.5 points, took the 1.5 with Villanova. They hung around, then they got bounced in the second half. It's a Villanova team that I don't want to say I was trusting at the time, but I just thought they were playing decent enough basketball that they would be able to handle Seton Hall. They couldn't do that. So now, basically, let me just go to bracket matrix here and take a look at some. Actually, you know what? We'll go to bracketology. Let me go to bracketology here. Just take me a moment to bring this up, because I want to see where Joe Lenardi has Villanova here. Top seed overall, Purdue. First team out, Providence. Last team in, Virginia. By the way, rooting, I hope Virginia loses. If Virginia plays tomorrow, I don't think I'm even handicapping the game they're playing, but I'll take a look. Hope they lose. Hope they get knocked out round one in the ACC tournament and don't make it in. Nobody wants to see Virginia in. Not a single not even people from the great state of Virginia, like X-Man, want to see Virginia in this tournament. Boring, outdated, whack. How about that? All right. On the bubble. Now, this was last updated today. Perfect. 9:30 a.m. Last four byes to get in would be Colorado State, TCU, Mississippi State, and Seton Hall. Because Seton Hall got that bounce from beating Villanova. Last four in, and I believe, I want to say, I got to check to see who Seton Hall plays tomorrow. We'll check that out in a minute. Last four in, the Villanova Wildcats, New Mexico, St. John's, and Virginia. The first four out, Providence, Colorado, Iowa, and Utah. And Colorado getting a big victory over Oregon yesterday. Next four out, Memphis, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, and Drake. So check this out. Like, Villanova doesn't have a lot of wiggle room at this point. They do play Creighton, and Creighton is a better ball club than them. So as I slide up here, we got Creighton as a third seed here on bracket matrix. Villanova hanging on by a thread right now. But let's look at that game tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you right now, I bet Creighton. I don't care if it sounds like a square play. The matchup is perfect. It just is. Wells Fargo Center, Philadelphia, which is the B site here for Villanova's home games. When they have bigger games, they don't play on campus. It used to be called the DuPont Pavilion, but I think they stripped that. I don't even know what it's called now. Maybe it's just called the Pavilion out there on Nova. But they're playing at the Wells Fargo Center once again. The Wells Fargo Center seats more than the Pavilion does here. And it looks like we got the answer. Give me a second here. All right. So we got Seton Hall versus DePaul tomorrow. So that's what we got. Which is an easy win. They're in. Like, Seton Hall's in the tournament then, basically, is what you're saying. Perfect. All right. Let's forget about that. Creighton-Villanova tomorrow. Here's the matchup we love. Creighton's a better team than Villanova overall. But granted, we know that doesn't always win. Creighton's 22-8 on the season. 13-6 in the Big East. And the Big East is very good. Friday, February the 2nd, Creighton lost to Butler 99-98 at home. 5 days later, they go and play on Wednesday night against Providence. They lose on the road in overtime, 91-87. Then they rip off four straight victories, an average Xavier team, a bad Georgetown team, an average Butler team, and a very good UConn team. They go on the road, and rightfully so. They played on a Sunday afternoon against St. John's. St. John's also battling to get in. You could see that sort of deflating atmosphere for Creighton after washing Connecticut at home. They lose that game 80-66. Then they beat Seton Hall 85-64 and smashed Marquette last Saturday 89-75. Yes, I know. Tyler Kolek was out for that basketball game. I get the picture. I get it. But Creighton's had an entire week off to get ready for Villanova's offense. An entire week off. And for Villanova coming into this ballgame, I thought they were playing decent basketball. I did. They really got drained midway through the season. Like, they had an awful, awful January. They lost to St. John's, Marquette, Connecticut, St. John's, Butler, and Marquette just in the month of January alone. But sort of turned the tide, right? Beat Providence to enter February, then lost to Xavier by three on the road. Picked up wins against Seton Hall, who, again, is a decent basketball team. Georgetown, bad. Butler, decent. Lost to Connecticut, got smashed on the road. Then they beat a really bad Georgetown team again and beat an average to decent Providence team before getting beaten, only scoring 56 points against Seton Hall. The one thing we know about Kyle Neptune's offense, it's slow. 348th in the country in adjusted tempo. They don't push any tempo here. If we take a look at Creighton, they're not really a high-tempo team. Bottom half of the country at 229 overall. But let's take a look at the matchup and why it makes sense here, people. Creighton's offense efficiency in conference playing the Big East, 11 teams. They're number two. Villanova's defense is number two. Yeah, they'll play some defense. They will. Villanova's offense, 6th out of 11th in efficiency. Creighton's defense, 4th overall. So not killers on either side there, just average. Now, Villanova usually works in advantage because they don't turn the basketball over. But how about this? Creighton's defense isn't built on pressure and turning you over as part of their offense. Matter of fact, Creighton's defense, they're the worst in the Big Ten, worst in the Big East at turning you over. They don't care about it. So Villanova was never going to turn it over. Creighton's not even going to mess around with it per se, right? Number one in conference play at not fouling, that's Creighton, which means Villanova's not going to get a lot of free shots here from the free throw line. Point distribution for Creighton's defense, free throw line, 11th in conference play. Nobody scores less free throws against any team than what you will against Creighton. Also, Villanova's offense, terrible at rebounding on offense. So let's get this straight. They're not going to rebound the basketball at all on the glass for offense for Villanova. They're not going to get to the free throw line. So let's go to matchups here. What's the one thing that we do know Villanova loves to do? Second most volume from three-point range in the Big East, it's Villanova. Do you know who's number one at defending the three-point line? Not percentage-wise, but chasing you off and not letting you shoot? That's Creighton's defense. How about Creighton? Vulnerable down low, possibly, right? Point distribution-wise. Number one in conference play. Do you know who's 10th in points in distribution outside the three-point line? That's Villanova. That's bad. Because if you want to abuse Creighton down low, and you love to go down low and don't like three-point shots, maybe you have an advantage. Perfect matchup for Creighton here, no doubt about it. And by the way, Villanova's number one in conference play at the free throw line. They're close to 82% as a team. But as I told you, Creighton doesn't foul. You're not going to be able to take advantage of that. So I love the matchup for Creighton's defense against Villanova. Let's flip it over to Creighton's offense here. Effective field goal percentage, number one in conference play. Because they love the three-point shot and they knock it down. But also keep in mind, 35% as a team from three-point range. Nobody in conference play shoots more three-point shots per possession than Creighton does. So, Donnie, why is that important? Villanova's defense, their footprint, they let you shoot more three-point shots than anybody in conference play. So think of that matchup, right? It's perfect. One team will shoot more three-point shots per possession than anybody in conference play, and one team's going to play defense and let you shoot more three-point shots than anybody else in conference play. Creighton's the better basketball team here. And if you're going to play the angle, I understand. It's an emotional one. Villanova needs this win, Donnie. If they get it, they'll be in the tournament. They're going to be set up for that. I understand that. That doesn't mean Creighton is just going to take a vacation in this basketball game. They're better. And also, when Villanova, to me, was a better basketball team to start the season, they beat Creighton. Revenge factor for Creighton. I just think they're better. I laid the 1.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Love Creighton. Did this last week with Baylor, and they smashed Kansas. Let's go, Creighton. Handle your business tomorrow against the Villanova Wildcats. Much more to do here on Moneyline. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo! Another good segment here on the table in a Friday afternoon on Moneyline. It's your boy Donnie Wrightside here. Phone lines open if you want to get a hold of me in this segment as we close out the week. 844-843-6879. Tomorrow, college basketball, fantastic day. Just spent some time breaking down Wiley Creighton over Villanova. I think they eke out a victory there in Philadelphia. I think they're the better team, and I'll take them here. If they lose, they lose, so be it. But you heard the references to some of the, you know, advantages I believe Creighton has. It fits pretty well here. Outside of Villanova really needing this basketball game and being at home, Creighton's a better basketball team. We'll see how that one plays out in South Philadelphia. Baylor and Texas Tech tomorrow. I like Baylor in that basketball game to win and cover. Let me just do a quick double check here because, again, some of those lines are currently out. I didn't see that one out, though, yet, I don't think. Creighton Nova, yeah. It doesn't look like I have a line out here on FanDuel or anywhere else. Kentucky Tennessee, as we said, 8.5 points as a favorite towards Tennessee, which is crazy. I think that sounds high, but again, they're begging you then to take Kentucky money. Houston, 9.5 point favorites over Kansas, man. Now, granted, keep in mind, Houston looking for revenge because Kansas beat them earlier in the season. And if Houston wins that game, they clinched full share. Of the Big 12 championship, which I know will be important to them. Duke Blue Devils here, 4.5 against Kentucky. Duke Blue Devils, 4.5 against North Carolina. That's an interesting game. Like, I actually do lean towards North Carolina. I think North Carolina is a better team overall, but it is at Duke. And also big stakes in that game as well. You're taking a look at a North Carolina team. If they go into Duke and beat them, that means they will be the solo champions there in the ACC. Don't have to share it with anybody. They lose that game to Duke. Duke then takes a banner and hangs it in Cameron Indoor that says, yep, we're ACC championship as well, 2023-2024. We don't want to do that. North Carolina wants to go in there and beat Duke on their own floor. That would make it. That would make their year, similar as it always does. Rivalry game, but that's great. That's great theater. 6:30 p.m. tomorrow, ESPN live from Cameron Indoor Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. Talked about that Creighton-Villanova game, Marquette and Xavier. Here's the interesting thing about Marquette. We're in a holding pattern right now. And I told you guys yesterday, we had John Rothstein on earlier in the week on the early line as we were talking about Marquette and where they go with Tyler Kolek. And I sort of agreed with his assessment when he was talking to Shaka Smart, basically saying, Shaka Smart, look, we're not rushing this kid back. We're firmly entrenched in the tournament. The last thing we want to do is re-aggravate an injury that we didn't have to. So yes, would Marquette have loved to have had him when they played UConn? Sure thing. No doubt about it. But the fact that they didn't is okay. Even if they lose to Xavier, it's fine. Even if they get knocked out early in the Big East tournament and Kolek doesn't play, that's fine. Selection Sunday isn't this Sunday. Selection Sunday is the following Sunday, which means by that time, with the missed games, he'll be getting 2.5 weeks of rest before they even take the court again. Now, always the tough part is you're hoping that he comes back completely healthy and ready to go. Because if he does, Marquette's a very good basketball team and some team, or a team, I should say, that you should be looking at a possibility to cut down the nets at a very good price. I think we're hovering around, what, 25-1 now? Let's see what we got here, some of these updated odds. National championship. Marquette, 25-1. That's a great price. If you can guarantee me Kolek coming back and being himself, that's a price that you would want to take a chunk out of. Clemson, Wake Forest, don't care. New Mexico, Utah State. I know that conference has been very good, the Mountain West, this year, and a lot of fun to watch. Iowa State at Kansas State. Why is that an interesting one? 2 o'clock from the Octagon of Doom in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas? Because if Iowa State can win that basketball game and Houston loses their game at Kansas, they can claim parts of that Big 12 championship. So Houston would be co-champion with Iowa State, which then brings us to that heavy line, close to double digits there for Kansas, going on a road taking on Houston. Houston's one of those teams that's very aggressive. Number 2 overall in defensive efficiency in conference play, which is crazy. Like, Houston plays really good defense. Just goes to show you how good Iowa State is on defense. And defense travels. Houston will foul you a lot, but you need to take advantage of the free throw line. Nobody gives up more points and point distribution in Big 12 play than the Houston Cougars do. But the Houston Cougars are fantastic on defense inside the arc. They will harass you. They will try to beat you down. They will foul and hope the ref doesn't call it. And away you go. That's an interesting basketball game tomorrow. Do I think Houston wins? Of course I think Houston wins, people. They're favored by double digits. They're supposed to win that game. Miami of Florida, Florida State. Boy, I fell in that trap the other night. I'm like, you know what? They are going to crack Boston College. And then I think an 8 or 9 point lead heading into the half. Gave up a couple points, a late 3-point shot, and it was closer at the break. And Miami just drew dead in the second half. And I thought I had a tiger by the tail, man. Uga Poplar was back. Nigel Pack was back. Nigel Pack was terrible in that game. So they're going to end their season at Florida State in Tallahassee. But Miami needs to run the table. And quite frankly, I don't think Miami can even beat Florida State on the road, who's not a very good team. And then you move into conference championship play. Miami might get bounced right away. They really might. And it's a shame because that starting lineup, when healthy and playing well, really could battle with Duke and North Carolina. But they just never got up off the carpet this year. An absolute wrap. Disappointing season for the Miami Hurricanes. But let's take a look. Look, again, college basketball good tomorrow. NBA action. Let's take a look at some of those games tonight because there are some good ones here. Here's an interesting spread, people. Check this out. The worst team in the NBA is the Washington Wizards. They now sit, like, I guess you could say, a game in front of the Detroit Pistons to get that top overall pick, which, again, theoretically, if you look at the standings, they're a game below. The Wizards are a game below the Detroit Pistons. Well, I think the Pistons are a better team than the Wizards. We've been debating for weeks now who's actually going to get the number one pick. I keep on saying it's the Wizards. Like, they're worse than the Detroit Pistons. So now you actually got what you wanted if you're the Wizards, right? Game clear of everybody for the worst record in the NBA, which means more ping pong balls for you. Their favorite tonight, people. The worst team in the NBA, the Washington Wizards, their favorite tonight over the Charlotte Hornets. Now, the Charlotte Hornets on the season are 15-47. Last 10 games, 4-6, which includes the Charlotte Hornets losing 5 straight ball games coming into this. The Washington Wizards are 9-53 on the season. You heard that right. By the way, it was close to the final score yesterday. I was talking to Christian, my producer, of the West Coast Conference game yesterday, which was 56-9. So nice little correlation right there, close to it. But the Washington Wizards, people, have lost 16 games in a row. I don't know how you do that in the NBA. Unless this was the Sixers tanking to try to get Ben Simmons and, you know, Joel Embiid's of the world and all that good stuff, right? But they've lost 16 in a row. They're favorite tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. What would you do in that scenario? You're driving around. You're listening right now on the app. What would you do? That line tells you right now, that is an unbelievable line for the Washington Wizards. Would you have enough cojones, enough gumption to fire away on that game for the Washington Wizards? Because two things are at stake here. We know the Charlotte Hornets really don't care about the season, right? But they do have 15 wins. And sometimes organizations like them, we can't lose to Washington. That would be way too much of an embarrassment, even though we've only won 15 games and lost 47. But knowing the Washington Wizards are favored, The Washington Wizards don't actually want to win this basketball game as an organization. Can you take them to actually win that game? My goodness. What a conundrum there. Two janky basketball teams on March 8th on a Friday night. And whoever's going to that game in D.C., bless you. You know, come on. That's some diehard Wizards fans right there. I don't know if I could take the Wizards. Just line reading as a handicapper, that's a stone cold Washington Wizards line. But just looking at a team with those extracurriculars, as I like to say, not trying to win, that's a tough sell here. New Orleans Pelicans, Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers are horrible. No Embiid, no Maxey. Had a lead against the Memphis Grizzlies. Blew that and ended up getting blown out at the end of the game. They're getting 7.5 from the Pelicans at the Wells Fargo Center. So it might be a tough weekend here for Philadelphia sports. Outside of the Flyers yesterday knocking off the Florida Panthers. Like Villanova might lose tomorrow. Sixers might lose tonight. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers now a 2.5-point favorite, up from a 1-point favorite here earlier in the morning. Probably going to show the Timberwolves had a very good victory yesterday against the Indiana Pacers. That was clutch. Anthony Edwards was awesome in that game. Scored a ton of points, had a major block at the end. But who's actually going to make it to the starting lineup in this game tonight is the question. And you can probably question the same thing with the Cavaliers. Spider Mitchell and the boys certainly haven't had their best lineups over the past couple weeks. This total, too, outrageously low, but not the lowest one of the night. It's 206, which is crazy low in today's NBA. Let's talk about the next game, Madison Square Garden. Orlando Magic, New York Knicks. The Dante DiVincenzo game. Josh Hart, play as many minutes as you possibly want. Go ahead. Dante DiVincenzo, shoot as many three-point shots as you need to. Play 45 minutes. See if you can get yours. The Orlando Magic are favored in this game, -1.5 across the board. But how about this total, which opened up people at 211? That's down to 206. 204. Correction. 204. Ugly game up in the Garden. As the Knicks, once again, similar to the Philadelphia 76ers, this isn't the team you're going to see playoff time. They're just treading water right now. Two bad starting lineups here. So we'll see. Let me just see if there's a updated injury report here for the New York Knicks. Questionable, as we have Jalen Brunson listed today with that knee. See if he plays. If he doesn't go, it's going to be an ugly basketball game all the way around. Atlanta Hawks on the road, 3-point favorites here. One of the teams that never covers anything feels like it's the Atlanta Hawks. Memphis Grizzlies are bad. They're a really bad basketball team, but they just did beat the Sixers, so they're flying high and mighty. That total, 215, man. My goodness. Like, the starting lineup question marks that we have, like, you know, Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards, question marks because they both lineup stink, right? Sixers are starting a G League team going against the Pelicans. The Timberwolves, who played last night, already down Karl Anthony Towns. Who shows up there? Same thing with the Cavaliers. The Orlando Magic's going to be healthy. The Knicks, who knows what's showing up for them? Hawks without Trae Young. Memphis Grizzlies, a terrible basketball team. Phew! Bad basketball games. But we do have a reprieve on a couple of the night games. The Miami Heat taking on the OKC Thunder. Heat lost yesterday. Now playing on a back-to-back against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder an 8.5-point favorite in a total of 224.5. Strong line. As Davis Matta calls them, the zombie Heat lineup, which you get sometimes, which just is a mockery of who is this and what are they doing, and they wind up winning basketball games. That's that Heat culture, people. We're going to take a look at one final game here over the final segment of Moneyline for this week next. That's the Milwaukee Bucks and Doc Rivers to take on Darvin Ham's Los Angeles Lakers from Crypto.com Arena. We got our dancing shoes on, people. We're here to make some money. Let's see if it works out. Bucks-Lakers preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NHL deadline. trade deadline comes to an end here at 3 p.m., so about 3 minutes here. A couple moves have been made around the league. Had Pete Jensen from NHL.com talking to us this morning on the early line, going over some of those moves that made some sense, some of those teams trying to make that next step here to win Lord's Stanley's Cup, and away they go. Hockey? Come on, man. It's March right now. Worry about hockey when they get to the playoffs here. But the deadline coming up quickly here over the next couple minutes. I don't think anything else is going to happen. Let's get the people caught up around the sports landscape today, as we do have conference championships being played across the country, and a couple games already done, a couple games in effect right now. 71-57 currently, Indiana State over Missouri State. It's about 3 minutes to go in that game. No surprise there. Indiana State 17-3 in the Missouri Valley this year. William and Mary at 4-14 in the CAA, taking on North Carolina A&T, was 5-13. They're up 35-30, that being William and Mary. Winthrop and Longwood in the Big South playing today. Winthrop 8-8 on the season. In the Big South, Longwood at 6-10. That game is early, 10 minutes, about 11 minutes ago in the first half. 14-13, Winthrop with a slight lead there. A lot of games being played tonight, a lot of tickets, and also some of these tickets being punched as early as tomorrow. How about that? Tournaments getting kicked off today, the SoCon Summit and CAA. And then, as you know, next week the big boys start to get into play, and we'll find out what the goods are at that time. I can't wait to let it play out. It's great. It's fun. By next Sunday night, we will have Selection Sunday. We'll know exactly what those feeds and seeds are going to be. We can yell at who get left out. We could talk about the easiest runs to the NCAA championship that we perceive, and maybe some of those tough runs in some of those regions you don't want to be in. But that's coming up shortly here. We got an entire week plus until we get there this weekend. Don't forget, people, to change your clocks. Spring them forward. Longer days here. Warmer weather is on the horizon. Cannot wait to watch it play out here. For Christian behind the wheels of steel, I'm Donnie Wrightside. Thanks for tuning in this week. We will see you back on Monday.